Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, June 13th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, it's late. They ran a little long with those Tony Awards.
Oh, yes, they did. And I was very concerned that there was going to be cutaways at 11:00. But it didn't seem to happen, at least in my non-scientific survey.
Well, you know, I think with all of the news that's going on in the world today, and especially as we've said a number of times on here, I live in Orlando, Florida, and it's been a really challenging weekend down here. First, you know, I wake up on Saturday morning and hear the news that an artist that I was familiar with from The Voice and even from her online work before that, Christina Grimmie, was murdered after a concert here in town. And then as awful as that was, to wake up on Sunday morning and to see the news that at that point they were saying 20 people were dead at a mass shooting, and then later in the day to see it raised to 50 people. You know, James, you and I talked about this Sunday afternoon, and I'm getting choked up talking about it. It was a tough day to think about, hey, we've got a party to cover tonight, a big party about people pretending to be somebody that they aren't. And I got to be honest with you, starting on Saturday and kind of going on into Sunday, I was kind of down in the dumps all weekend, and I was not all that looking forward to having to do the work of covering the Tonys tonight. But as the afternoon rolled on and we started to see more and more theater professionals and artists send words of love to the people down here in Orlando, and not by any stretch me, because I didn't know anybody that was there. I've never been to either of the places where these shootings happened this weekend, but to see the outpouring of love that they gave not only for our Central Florida community, but to the LGBTQ community that was so greatly affected by the shooting at Pulse earlier this morning, it really started to get me a little out of the funk. And then to see the unbelievable outpouring of excitement and passion and artistry at the Tonys, it really did the trick of getting me out of that mood where I very easily could have found myself just sitting watching local and national news over and over and over for hours, just continuing to depress me. So if nothing else, the Tony Awards, I think, served as a remarkable way to remind us how powerful the arts can be, how powerful following your passion can be, and how strong we need to be as a theater and an arts community in the face of people trying to do things to tear others down. And for me, being here in Orlando and covering everything that was in New York, it was a roller coaster of a day. But I think in the end, the Tonys did what theater has always done for me. It's to borrow a kind of a cliche phrase, it took me to church and reminded me what's really important.
And the days, the weekend's events really colored what was happening at the Tony Awards in the rehearsal at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. this morning,
right.
and throughout the day, and how everybody wanted to acknowledge and be respectful of what was happening while also having what you accurately determine is a party up here. And what, how do we acknowledge that? I think that they did a very good job.
I agree.
Did you see the opening with James Corden?
Yeah.
The pre-show?
The cold open was very well done. And as nice as the words were that he said, I think the best decision about that was from an optic standpoint of having I'm getting choked up again, James. The camera facing him with the audience in the background to show the solidarity of that New York community supporting the Central Florida community down here. And it was a very powerful way. And once you kind of get that out of the way and say, this is what's on our mind, we are with you, we will continue to be with you, then it kind of said, okay, this isn't something that they're just saying. This was genuinely and wholeheartedly felt. We can go on to the silliness and the fun of celebrating the hard work of these amazing artists from over the past calendar year on Broadway. So it was a great open. And then you throw in, you know, things like the speech from Frank Langella, and we want to get to the awards and stuff here in a second, but and that, and with the ribbons that William Ivy Long designed and they passed out, that a lot of the guests of the Tonys were wearing, it was a classy move by a classy community up in New York to show the support for people, you know, 1,000 miles away. So well done to the Broadway community. I can only speak for myself, but for one person down here in Central Florida, I greatly appreciate it.
So we move on to the opening where Corden did the Just You Wait with the Hamilton cast.
That was funny.
And a very, very funny where James did the opening of Hamilton as James Corden, and he was holding a Tony Award, and he looked around at the Hamilton cast and said, "Just you wait." So, and then
they didn't have to wait long.
They didn't. They what was the final count? Was it 10, 11?
I believe the final total was 11. I don't have the final count in front of me, but I believe as I was counting along, it was 11 awards. So just one shy of the producers, but still a pretty darn good showing.
Oh, absolutely. And who knows if the Sound Tonys were still there, maybe they would have gotten their the 12th there. The opening was really, really fun. I felt maybe a little long, but maybe it was just because I was anxious to get on with the evening.
It was all right.
Know that there was a lot of stuff there. We opened up the awards with Jane Houdyshell with the Humans. We opened up the on-air awards.
Yes, good qualification there, because there are still a lot of the design awards that we don't see on TV, and they do a nice job of fitting them in to the commercials. But you know, you still feel bad that those people didn't have the moment to share it on stage and on live TV.
Yeah, and they've been pretty good. The Tony Awards has been pretty good at getting up all those acceptance speeches on YouTube in the days following the Tony Awards. So we'll be able to see those things right now. As you and I are recording, Lin-Manuel Miranda's in the press room right now taking questions and being very, very funny. So
I'm sure.
You have to forgive us for being a little bit distracted. So what did you think about the adoption of Ham for Ham in the Tony Awards?
I thought that was a great way to not only give us more performances, because that is the thing that really keeps the viewers interested in really any awards show, but especially the Tonys, is those performances, giving people more opportunities to see these talented casts perform, to give nice throwbacks to the shows of days gone by. I wish there was a little bit more of a variety in the shows that they picked, but I understand why they picked the ones they did. But it was cool. I liked it. I don't know that they could have done something like that if they were still over at Radio City, but having the Beacon being a little smaller house definitely gave them the opportunity to do some fun stuff out on the street.
Well, I mean, a couple of years ago when Billy Joel's show was on Broadway,
they
did something like that outside of Radio City as well. And thank goodness we had a beautiful, beautiful weather weekend in New York here. So that helped into it as well. And some excited fans outside of the Beacon got a good show there. The opening of the Ham for Ham was with Lin-Manuel Miranda, Andrew Lloyd Webber on the tambourine, Steve Martin, Edie Brickell, and Sarah Bareilles. And wow, Sarah Bareilles. We'll have to talk about her in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So then the Ham for Ham, after the commercial break, did Shuffle Along and Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat, they sang. These were really wonderful twists that were unique to this year, that not only brought in the flavor of what this year's Tony Award season was, but also gave a great a second showcase to many, many shows out there.
Yeah.
That he got to see just a little bit more, which is great. I think that the overall show was pretty good, and
I think that's fair. I think going beyond pretty good might be pushing it, but it was pretty good. I thought James Corden equated himself incredibly well. I was not bowled over by the opening number, but beyond that, I was very impressed with how he handled the whole evening.
Oh, certainly better than Hugh Jackman jumping around like a bunny.
So. Yes. All right. So do you want to get into the awards here, James?
Yes. Why don't you lead us off there?
All right. Starting, we're going to go kind of the biggest on down. Obviously, there weren't in the performance-based categories, there weren't a whole lot of surprises, to be honest with you. I think the majority of these were things that mm-hmm. people expected. Best musical went to Hamilton. Best play went to The Humans. Best revival of a play went to A View from the Bridge. Best revival of a musical went to The Color Purple in terms of the acting categories. Best performance by an actress in a leading role in a musical, Cynthia Erivo. Best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical, Leslie Odom Jr. Best actor in a play, Frank Langella. Best actress in a play, Jessica Lange. In the featured categories, you mentioned Jane Houdyshell winning for featured actress in The Humans. Her co-star, Reed Birney, also won for featured actor in a play. Then if you start getting into the featured roles in a musical, you had Renee Elise Goldsberry obviously winning for Hamilton, and then Daveed Diggs also winning for Hamilton. A really cool thing to note was that all four of the musical yes. performers, it was the first time that all four were African. Well, I'm not African American because Cynthia Erivo is not American, but four Black actors. So I think that's a really cool thing to note. And then I'm not going to get into necessarily ages, but all four of the actors in the play categories were of a certain generation, so to speak. So it was a really interesting, and they mentioned it. I'll be honest with you, I watched a lot of the backstage live stream, so I'm kind of blurring between what was actually on CBS and yeah. what was just streamed. But you know, they mentioned that the Oscars weren't exactly diversity friendly, and so to see four Black actors winning and then four older actors winning was pretty cool. I have to admit, I enjoyed that quite a bit. In the directing categories, Ivo Van Hove won for A View from the Bridge. Thomas Kail won for Hamilton. Annie Blankenbuehler won for Hamilton, which is one, honestly, that was a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought Savion Glover would probably pull that one out, and he did not. So overall, a lot of those awards were what we expected. The design awards were a little trickier to pick, mainly because most of us aren't intelligent enough to know the difference between a good design and what's not. But for the most part, you know, you also had Lin-Manuel Miranda winning both the book and score. So a pretty standard, cut and dry set of awards, don't you think, James?
Yeah, I mean, there was no real shocks in the direction of a play or direction of a musical either. The Ivo Van Hove, who yep. we've discussed, is certainly has figured out how to clone himself because he's everywhere, and I'm pretty sure there's multiples of him. And Thomas Kail for Hamilton as well.
Yep.
I don't think I was surprised by anything tonight. Were no. you surprised by anything?
Man, I told you, James, I didn't know if I wanted to get into this, but I'm going to do it just because you asked this question. Going from the awards to the performances, what really surprised me as someone who hasn't seen Hamilton on stage, I'm going to get hate mail, is how underwhelmed I was by the two Hamilton performances tonight. I don't know if it's the fact that it's not in the context of the larger work, or maybe the excitement and anticipation for how great everyone says Hamilton is. As someone who hasn't seen it, who's only seen the videos and everything else, I was kind of underwhelmed. I know I'm going to get in trouble for that, but from the beginning, I've enjoyed the cast recording. It hasn't changed my life like it has so many other people. The videos I've seen have been cool and really impressive, but really hasn't, you know, turned me into an obsessive. So I was a little underwhelmed by that. My favorite performances of the night were from other musicals other than Hamilton.
Well, I can't disagree with you, and I'm a huge fan of Hamilton. I loved it when I saw it, and I'm a big proponent of it, but I didn't think it was represented well on the Tonys, and I think that were you to get down to the Richard Rodgers, Matt, you would have a much better experience. I think most of these things don't come off well taken out of context. But you know what I think was actually better than when I saw it was Bright Star.
Really?
Bright Star had a great performance. And then for Waitress, the mixture of the Sarah Bareilles and Jesse singing on stage together, I really loved that. And that's something, certainly, it's not part of the show. That's
right.
Sort of a hybrid there.
Well, and
it's really
little,
wonderful.
Yeah, and I was a little disappointed when we saw Sarah Bareilles come out. Not because I don't love Sarah Bareilles, but I thought, wow, that's really kind of taking time away from the cast. But then when Jesse came back out and we noticed there was a costume change, And then she did that song she used to be behind. Holy crap, James. I mean, that was one of the moments, and I don't know if it's the weekend I've had, but I'm getting teary again. What a performance that was. I mean, we all knew that Jesse Mueller was, you know, insanely talented already, both as an actress and as a singer, but the performance she gave there was breathtaking. And then Cynthia Erivo, does that voice come out of that little person? She was amazing. And those two performances are the ones that stole the show for me. You could probably also throw in Bebe Neuwirth, you know, doing her little number there with Chicago, and those little subtle Fosse shoulders was great. But Cynthia Erivo and Jesse Mueller stole the show for me. And even though, you know, Jesse didn't win, she was a winner in my book. Kind of like, you know, Idina Menzel was a couple years ago when she performed from If Then. The show was kind of overlooked in a lot of the award categories, but she gave a performance at the Tonys that was like, oh, okay, that's special.
The people that were in that category with Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, insane.
You know, they're all performing at the same exact times. They're not going to see each other. That's probably the first time you've seen Cynthia on stage. You've heard a lot about her.
Yeah.
And then she sings that song and everybody just went, oh yeah, she's winning.
Well, and did you notice, I don't know if you noticed, when they announced her, if you go back and look, I kind of tried to capture real quick because I was looking, I don't want to say all of them, but I believe almost all of them leapt to their feet
in
rapturous applause. And those are her other nominees. So they clearly have a respect for the work that she's doing in The Color Purple 8 times a week, because it just based on that little snippet of a song we saw and then other videos we've seen, she's doing remarkable work.
Absolutely. Meg Ryan introducing She Loves Me.
It took me a minute. They said next to present Meg Ryan. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then when they said, okay, I was like, okay, I got it. You've got mail. Okay.
Yeah. The She Loves Me thing is great. And the fiddler did the ham for ham outside of the Beacon. They did Annie Get Your Gun, No Business Like Show Business. And I wish Danny Burstein had won, but I still, you can't argue it with Leslie Odom Jr., you know?
No, and that was one of those when we talked to, on our Omnibus episode, I talked with Oliver Henry Roth, and he talked about it was a really close race between kind of going with your gut with Leslie and what the previous awards and projections had been because Hamilton wasn't involved. So he said that was going to be a super close one. And I think he actually went with Danny, but it was Leslie who kind of kept the idea of the conventional wisdom. And then he gave such a cool speech to talk about how important the other cast members were and to call so many of them out by name. It was a really nice speech. And there was, you know, we didn't have any kind of kooky Mark Rylance speeches or Frances McDormand wearing jean jackets. I mean, it was a very professional, respectful evening. And not that I don't love them, I love those Mark Rylance speeches. But, you know, it was a very professional, respectful, classy ceremony tonight.
Best speech? Would you go with Lin-Manuel's speech?
No, I would, you know, maybe because it's where I live, I would go with Frank Langella. I was very moved by Frank Langella's speech, and over on our live blog where I kind of lived most of the night over on Broadway World, our editor-in-chief CEO Rob Diamond, after I posted something about that speech, he said, if you like that, get his book. So that's on the top of my Amazon list, is to get Frank Langella's book. And just such a classy guy. And, you know, this is going to be a non sequitur for some of you, but for others of you, it'll make a whole lot of sense. Another thing that I really liked going from Frank Langella was seeing Carrie Russell introduce Waitress. That was very cool. I mean, I saw that movie. My sister is an event planner for cities and for communities here in Orlando, and she used to run the Great American Pie Festival. So they had one of the world premieres of that movie. So I got to see that when it first came out, and to see that turned into such a successful musical, it was cool to see Carrie Russell, who just had a baby, by the way, like less than a month ago, and she looked great. And that was a very cool thing, similar to that Meg Ryan transition. But back to your original question, there were a lot of great speeches, but I would probably stick with Frank Langellis.
And then a preview of next season with Josh Groban. What did you think of the Josh Groban sequence?
Well, that's a video that I think a lot of us have seen already, and I would be shocked if he didn't know that was coming. But I think, you know, Josh Groban's a guy who's never been on Broadway, but feels already like such a part of the community, not only from his album Stages, which he did all show tunes, but he was, you know, he did Glee and all these other things. I think he's going to do very well. A remarkable voice, but just a guy in terms of his personality and his demeanor, just seems like he's going to be one of those winning personalities in the theater community that just feels like he's been a theater actor his entire, you know, professional life. And he really hasn't been, but I think he's going to be a big part of this next season. And we talked, you and I have talked before on air about Ben Platt kind of being the leader in the clubhouse in terms of best actor in a musical next year for Dear Evan Hansen. But you start throwing Josh Groban in there, and that could be a fun one to watch over the, you know, the next, you know, 12 months, especially because those two shows are set to open before the new year starts.
And Josh, just a little bit, I'm going to give you a little Broadway hint here. Danny Burstein.
Yeah, he threw an extra N in there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And then, but then you had two people. I can understand Meg Ryan, but Audra McDonald mispronouncing Benanti? Come on, Audra. You guys are friends. You've done a live television musical together. You guys hang out. Like, this is, come on, Benanti. Benanti business. What is that?
Benanti.
I'm gonna blame it on the pregnancy hormones, and she just got caught.
Hey,
up.
How about those high kicks she was doing and shuffle along?
I don't know that there's anyone who is A, listening to this podcast, and B, who watched the Tonys, that didn't already understand that Audra McDonald is in a class unto herself.
Got
but
us.
A, she looked amazing, and that glow you talk about with pregnant women, she had it. But she went out there and, holy crap, the dexterity that she had. You know, I don't know how many months into her pregnancy she is, but she was moving. Then you throw in, you know, Stokes and Billy Porter, and these are people who are not known as dancers, but they were working it. Congratulations to Savion and Shuffle Along.
So I was totally thrown by the normal speaking voice of Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse. Yeah, I don't think James Corden got her name right either. I think he said Sasha, but
yeah.
Saoirse. Did you not see the movie Brooklyn, James?
No.
Oh, such a
Who the hell has time for movies? I have so much on my plate with Broadway.
That's kind of what I do. But I'll get you a copy of that movie. It's a great movie, and she's a fantastic actress. So I don't remember exactly your review of The Crucible, but she's one that's going to have a huge career on screen, and I hope that she finds time to do more theater in the future.
And then The Color Purple for their Ham did a Lion King's Circle of Life, and that was really wonderful.
And especially because Heather Headley was there, who was the original Nala on Broadway. Yep. So it was nice to kind of see that go full circle. And then also in Cynthia Erivo's speech, and we've kind of talked about how classy she has been all season, but to not only mention, you know, Danielle Brooks, who was nominated with her, she also mentioned Heather Headley, but she also mentioned Jennifer Hudson, who was not there, but who was her original co-star in the show for the first 6 months of the run. Just a classy move to, you know, remember her. And so often in theater, out of sight, out of mind, because you do something 8 times a week. It, you know, if someone's been gone for a while, you forget about them. But a classy move there. And in a similar vein, it was cool. Again, you and I have talked about it, and I got into a conversation with somebody on Twitter yesterday, I think, about it. It's a little weird situation, but it was very cool to see Spring Awakening on stage. I wish we had a little bit more Krista Rodriguez. I don't know that was the song that I would have chosen. But maybe it's the one that got the most people involved. But it was very cool to see a show that highlighted so many diverse components. Even if the cast itself was all white, you had, you know, the first actor or actress on Broadway in a wheelchair. You had deaf actors. I mean, it's such a special performance that for them to have the chance to perform on a national stage is great. I think a lot of us have concerns about how they got there, but that's neither here nor there, and that's beside the point at this point, because that performance was a barrier breaker and was very, very cool.
And then so much of the evening focused on theater education and arts education. We had the discussion about Andrew Lloyd Webber's $1.3 million donation to the Wing for arts education. And Steve Martin even gave some advice to everybody on how to get to Broadway, work really, really hard, or be famous.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. I mean, but the thing is that I think we all understand that Steve Martin worked really hard to be famous in the first place.
Oh, so, yeah.
But no, and I thought that was a very nice thing. And even I was watching the backstage feed, like I said, most of the night. After Bright Star performed, they went out and they were interviewed by Broadway Princess Laura Osnes and American in Paris's Max von Essen. And they said a lot of those people were making Broadway debuts and they were really nervous to perform. And then when they heard Steve Martin tell that joke, they all kind of laughed and then realized, oh, it's time to go. So they didn't have time for those nerves to build up right before they went on. So a cool little moment there. And I definitely thought that was pretty funny.
How did we get so many years? I mean, it has to be 25 years into this where nobody has done a Law and Order segment before.
Dude, that was
hysterical.
Oh, my God. I thought it was funny when they got to Danny. And then when Danny had
five credits
for Law and Order, that was amazing. And you know what else was even more impressive? Unless James Corden just dropped it, they were all Law and Order original. He did not say Law and Order SVU, Criminal Intent, Trial by Jury, LA, you know, London, all the different ones. He said all Law and Order. So I don't know if he just dropped some of the subtitles, but that was pretty damn funny. You know, then you had David and Leslie together in a scene, and I didn't know that. That's something I figure we would have known, but that was very cool.
That's just great producing. That is the work that goes into planning the Tony Awards long before, and that's awesome.
But the bad thing about it is it made me miss Jerry Orbach. It really made me miss. That's what I was thinking. I was like, just give me a little clip of Orbach in there. But oh well.
We had just a few Trump jokes. Nathan Lane pulled off a pretty good Trump joke.
That was good.
Then On Your Feet performed, and they showed why they are pulling in $1 million a week. Yep. And I'm just so sad they weren't better represented because it's a show that I really enjoyed.
Well, it's a tough season. Yeah. I mean, look at these shows. So, we talked about this when the nominations came out. Like, you want On Your Feet to be recognized, but who are you taking out of these categories? I mean, it's just it's a packed season. And then you mentioned the Trump jokes. We had Book of Moron, which hilarious. And then Glenn Close. Okay, she obviously was very funny as Hillary Clinton in a Clinton line, but apparently she was walking the red carpet with Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, and rumors were starting to swirl around the red carpet that might be a precursor to either the movie, which we've heard about, or a Broadway transfer for Sunset Boulevard. So that'll be interesting to see what develops out of that, but that was some gossip that came off of the red carpet as I was watching the live streams.
It's foreshadowing, you know. Usually the Tonys will give us a few little hints about what we're going to have in store over the next 12 months.
Nada.
And then Spring Awakening did their Ham for Ham, where they did the song from Hair. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. You and I exchanged some messages about just before 10 o'clock, and they did the carpool karaoke segment for 10 minutes or so.
I don't think it was that long, but it felt like it because we'd seen it already.
Let's see, 9:53 to 9:59. So it was six minutes, but I don't know if they really needed to do that.
I mean, if they were going to show, like they did show You'll Be Back from Hamilton, so it was different content than what we saw on, you know, the Late Late Show on Monday night. But if you're going to do that, I mean, give us all original stuff. We didn't need to see the same thing we saw there. And it seemed like an oddly placed ad for his show. And look, he did a great job. I don't think he needed to shoehorn that in there. Or do something completely different with other Broadway stars. Like, those people were chosen to do it with him for his show because they have crossover mainstream appeal. Maybe do it more with, they could have done it with an actual you know, theater specific people who didn't have the mainstream appeal. Do it with Danny. Maybe do it with Lore, who probably has a little more crossover appeal, but do it with some, do it with Cynthia Erivo, you know, do it with people who the, that theater crowd that is watching that show and that is in the Beacon Theater would appreciate that his regular audience wouldn't. So if you're going to do that, I don't know that we needed to recycle that bit again.
Non sequitur, totally off topic, not involving the Tony Awards, that Nashville got picked up by CMT.
It did.
Hopefully we'll see Laura Benanti back on Nashville.
The whole cast was, you know, they're under contract for season six. Whether or not the producers keep them around moving to a smaller network, apparently there's a deal between CMT and Hulu. So who knows what that means? That can mean something for Will Chase or Kyle Dean Massey, who is a recurring character on there. And maybe if they do wrap it up after six season, we'll see Laura Benanti come back as. Never, I can't think of her name on the show. But
well, yeah. back to the Tony Awards. Hamilton did a rent sequence in their Ham for Ham, and they did No Day But Today. But wow, they sounded great.
They really did, and that goes back to, you know, why the whole performances of Hamilton threw me. I didn't think they sounded all that particularly good in either the one in their regular performance slot or at the end, you know, kind of the encore performance. They didn't sound great. And look, I totally get at the end there. They just won. They were grabbing microphones, running off stage. I totally get that. But, you know, it just wasn't. I was expecting more, you know, and maybe that's on me and maybe I'm expecting too much and I build it up. But speaking of that, we did have some news come out of Hamilton before the Tonys tonight. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Philippa Sue has set her final performance date with Hamilton. The date itself was not reported, but it will be after Lynn leaves, which is apparently going to be on July 9th. So Philippa will be leaving in the next month or so for that show, which, you know, is kind of surprising to me, James, because when Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 came around, I thought, okay, Philippa is going to do her year in Hamilton, take a month or so off and go straight into rehearsals maybe, and then recreate her role as Natasha in the Broadway production. But they announced Denton pretty quickly after they announced Josh Groban. So it's kind of surprising that she is not staying in Hamilton. Perhaps she's going to do something else. I know her fiance, Stephen Pasquale, is going to LA to shoot a show, but this announcement kind of surprised me, knowing that she either passed on a chance to recreate her role in The Great Comet of 1812, or, you know, maybe wasn't offered, but it just seemed a little bit odd. I was surprised.
Yeah, I'd imagine that she might have a number of things to pick from.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, she'll probably, you know, and she's such an amazing talent. I'm afraid we might lose her to the West Coast.
Well, especially, you know, if her soon to be husband, he does a lot of TV and movies. So it very well could end up in the old Hollywood.
Yeah, and Claire Danes was out there doing the announcement of the best play, and she looked wonderful, and she is straddling that line back and forth between television, film, and theater. We just saw her in Dry Powder down at the Public.
Right. Yep.
And seeing her on the Tonys, I wonder if we're going to see her in a play on Broadway next season. But you know who one of the big winners was tonight that we that people don't really talk about?
Scott Rudin.
Yeah. Oh boy, you're reading my mind from 1,000 miles away. Scott Rudin.
Well, he was up there a lot.
Yeah, so, but you know, certainly Scott Rudin is an amazing success story. Scott Rudin is a producer who produced The Humans and also produced A View from the Bridge, and seems to be able to have a golden touch. And I don't think that he is recognized as such a force. I guess he is, but from inside the industry. But I don't know if people outside of the industry really know his name too much.
Not only does he do theater, though, he's also a movie producer. Does a lot of TV stuff too. So, and he brings a lot of theatrical content to screens, big and small alike. So he is definitely an important part of the theater community, whether people realize it or not. And he's a, I don't know if this is a PC term, but he's a bit of a ball buster. So if he wants something, he usually makes it happen, whether that's the making friends and influencing people way or not.
At 5 minutes to 11, we had Chita Rivera doing the In Memoriam section.
Oh, that was great.
Which was very good. And I was like, oh my goodness, we're going to hit this. I'm so trained that 11 o'clock, all the local affiliates are going to cut away and everybody's going to get stuck. But with such big announcements with Hamilton and Barbra Streisand, I guess nobody was going to cut away.
No, absolutely. I was living in Atlanta a couple years ago when they actually did cut away. It's actually now a kind of a famous thing where you've seen that video where I was watching it and the news anchor said, like, he talked about the trip to beautiful
Pippin.
Yeah. Or Pippin or something. Yeah. And he got the trip to Bountiful or the trip Bountiful and Pippin confused as they were trying to do it, but they cut away.
He screwed up Kinky Boots.
Yeah. It was just awful. So I'm glad, knowing, especially like we've talked about at the top of the show, because there is such major news, a major terrorist attack, the largest mass shooting in the history of the United States, it would be hard to fault news organizations and local affiliates from cutting away, but I'm glad they didn't. Obviously, they understand that Hamilton was probably going to win that award and Barbra Streisand was going to appear, so they understood that people were watching for that. So I appreciate that. As someone in Orlando, if any local affiliate was going to cut away, it was going to be ours, so I'm glad that they didn't. But that In Memoriam segment was great. I think having Chita Rivera, not only because she is an icon of the theater, but because she was on Broadway last year with Roger Rees, that was nice. And what a beautiful way to do that. It wasn't overdone with a big showy performance. It's just a string quartet playing a song from Rent, and it was very moving. I've already seen some people online talking about, oh, this person was left out, this person was left out. There's no
every
way
year.
That you,
it happens
yeah,
every
you
year.
Just can't yeah. get everybody from the theater community, even just the New York theater community, in there. But I think the sentiment of how they did it this year was very, very well done.
And then as we wrap up into the final award for the evening was Best Musical for Hamilton, where Jeffrey Seller, the producer who brought Hamilton from the public to Broadway, spoke from the heart, and he used a line from the show that was just perfect. Look around. I thought it was. Do you even think so?
Look, we've been dealing with Hamilton line readings for about a year and a half now. Maybe it's because I haven't seen it and I'm not in the Hamilton obsessive category, but it's enough. It's been done, you know, and it was so clearly staged and thought out. The rest of his speech was great, but okay, I get it. It's fun.
Well, I think that we can officially close the books on Hamilton now and acknowledge.
It's going to close next week.
Acknowledge that it has won the awards and it's done everything, and we don't need to obsess about it anymore, right?
I don't, but I don't know that that's going to stop anybody else.
We probably won't have any stories about Hamilton in this week's Today on Broadway, right?
I have a feeling, actually, we're probably going to have a few. I'm just kind of feeling like this Philippa news is a precursor to some announcements of some casting changes. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next week or so we find out when people are leaving and who might be replacing them. I would be shocked if when Lynn leaves that his standby, it's quarter after midnight and I can't think right now. Anthony Ramos. Uh-huh. I would be shocked if he isn't named the full-time Hamilton moving forward. But other than that, it should be interesting to see how they go about replacing some of these original cast members that might be leaving. I would assume some of them will stay. Obviously, Chris Jackson has a TV show, Bull, that he's doing for CBS that's filming in New York. So I don't know how that'll impact that. Obviously, we know Philippa's leaving. And a lot of these people have been with this show for, upwards of 2 years now. And then even more than that, because that was just kind of like the performances and the rehearsals. You start throwing in readings. They've been doing this for a long time, and it's very natural for artists to want to do something differently. So you can't fault them for leaving, but that makes it very interesting to see who moves on. And I don't know if you, did you get the commercial where the great Titus Andromedon did his submitted his audition video for Hamilton? Did you see that? Did you get that commercial up in New York?
I didn't see any commercials.
You didn't see any commercials. Well, no. It was a great, and one of the first commercial breaks, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt had a video where Titus Burgess's character, Titus Andromedon, submitted his video to be considered as a replacement for Hamilton. And it was everything you expect Titus Andromedon to do. So if you haven't seen that, I know we've got it on Broadway World because I put it up, but there's a bunch of other, I'm sure it's all over the place. It's very funny and one of my favorite shows on TV. So yay them.
I don't, you know, I think that there's a guy that I think might be able to take over. He's out of work starting January 2017. And he introduced the Hamilton folks. So
you think Obama, well, he's staying in DC because his kids are, well, one of his daughters are still in school. He could probably get a car up there. Do you think he could play? Well, I think he could be a pretty good George Washington.
Oh, yeah. I think that Obama can come up and do that. I mean, Joe Biden took the Amtrak for a while. Obama could do that.
He did a long time. Yeah.
I mean, and then what did you think about Common?
I think Common is an amazing talent. I think he's an incredible, incredible person, too, as we've got to know him more, you know, not being much of a hip-hop person. He really came into my radar when President Obama invited him to the White House for something, and people just attacked him because they just heard he was a rapper and he was involved at a poetry thing, and they don't realize that a lot of what Common writes about and raps about is social justice and is about, you know, raising people up, and then to see that translate to an Academy Award win for the song that he wrote with John Legend for the movie Selma. He's truly an artist that makes a difference in our community, whether you listen to his music or not. And so I was very pleased to see him on the Tony Awards. You know, who knows? He's got an Oscar. Maybe his next step is to write a hip hop musical for Broadway as well.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWW Matt, and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Later this week, Jen and I will give a full recount of how we thought the Tony Awards went from a pop culture standpoint.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you for spending your Monday with us, and we will be back with you tomorrow.